I do a lot of speaking. I give a lot of retreats. I just finished one about 5 hours ago. And if there's one thing that I've learned in doing a lot of speaking and giving a lot of retreats, it's that I need a lot of help. So I want to ask you to pray for me for a moment. If you'll pray that I'll speak the words that the Lord wants me to speak, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. If we can just pray for each other for a few moments in silence. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. One of the reasons that I like to do that, I like to ask for your prayers, is to put us on the same side. We're all here together facing the Lord. For a few minutes, I'm facing you and you're looking at me, but really, in our hearts, we need to all be facing the Lord. And besides that, if at the end of this time you feel like this homily was kind of a waste, you only have yourselves to blame. You should have prayed harder. And likewise, if it turns out well, and you thank me, I'll thank you, because I know that it is really your prayers that make it possible for us. And that's how we support each other as a body. We are animated by one Holy Spirit, whom we adore today in a particular way on Pentecost and in this parish and for the next couple of days. We are animated by one Spirit, but we are all members, different members of the same body, and we have to support each other. We don't all have the same function, but we all have equal importance. But we have to support the different functions with the functions that we have. So I'm grateful if you're going to ask me to speak, then I have to ask you to pray. And then we're working together in order to listen to the Lord and be animated by the same Spirit. The title of the talk today and the next 2 days come from the Pentecost sequence. I was going to come here 2 years ago, and I printed, I don't know, 600 cards or something that have the Pentecost sequence on them. And now, 2 years later, I finally am here, and I left the box of cards at home. It's just amazing. Organization is not the function in the body that God has given me. And I didn't have somebody to organize me well enough for this, apparently. Father Jim would have done an excellent job, but he's not at St. Vincent. He can't organize my St. Vincent life from out here. But just drawing from one section of the Pentecost sequence, which we heard earlier today at Mass, and there are a variety of translations, but the Latin is very beautiful, and then I'll give a kind of direct translation. In the Latin it says, Veni Pater Pauperum, Veni Dator Munerum, Veni Lumen Cordium. Come, Father of the poor. Come, Giver of gifts. Come, Light of hearts. And that's the element that I want to draw into. Asking the question, first of all, how is the Holy Spirit the Father of the poor? What does that mean? And then this gospel passage will meet the same point from a different direction. The gospel passage has a very curious thing, and I know that since you heard this gospel passage, if you came to Mass, well, maybe you did for last night, it's the can be the gospel for the vigil, and I know you've read this before, and you were very curious about it, and you looked up the Greek, because that's what everybody does, right, in the parish, because there's a funny translation that if you read it in different translations, it comes out differently. Rivers of living water will flow, our translation was, from within him who believes in me. If you look at the RSV translation, it says, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of him who believes in me. And then if you read the Douay Rheims translation, it says, rivers of living water will flow from the bowels of him who believes in me. Now, I'm not really interested in that living water myself. That sounds like something for the doctor's office. But why can't they agree on this translation? Those are the kinds of things that make me curious. And my Greek's not really very good, but I can play around with a few things and look up a few things. And so I looked that up, and that Greek word is very interesting. I'm going to leave you in suspense. Coming back to, come Father of the poor, come Giver of gifts, come Light of hearts. The Holy Spirit is the Father of the poor. And I'm going to tell you something that the Holy Spirit does that we don't like very much. The Holy Spirit makes us poor. The Holy Spirit fathers our poverty. He strips us. The Holy Spirit likes to surprise us. The Holy Spirit likes to take us off guard. The Holy Spirit likes us to take us in directions that we didn't plan on. The Holy Spirit likes for me to leave my box of holy cards I was going to give you back at the monastery and see what I do with it. The Holy Spirit has a way of keeping us off balance. He fathers our poverty. Why would he do that? So that he can give us gifts. It's the next line in the sequence. He fathers our poverty so that he can give us gifts. Because you know, you can't receive a gift if you already have it. I can't give you a computer if you already have a computer. I can't give you a card if you already have a card. I already got that one, Father. I can't give you a statue of a saint if you've already got that saint. Unless we're poor, we can't receive a gift. Now, we don't like to be poor. Unless we're certain that we're going to receive a gift. And that's exactly where God brings us. We have a little bit of struggle believing that, but the fact is that God makes us poor only so that he can give us the greatest gift. What's the opposite of that? And it's something that we strive for way too much. I don't want to be poor. I want to make sure I have everything I need at all times. And that leads to lots of insurance policies, lots of ways to make our own security within our own power. We like to have a lot of money in the bank. We like to have a lot of backup plans. And none of those things are evil. And I'm not saying that they don't have their place. But sometimes we have to look at our hearts and see what's going on there. Am I so determined to never be left wanting that I've insulated myself with so many layers of things that I can't actually receive a gift anymore? Pope Benedict referred to this a couple of years ago in his Christmas address. He said, you know, during the whole Advent season, we kept praying, Veni ad salvandum nos, come and save us. And he said, save us from what? What do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from the prideful presumption of self-sufficiency. We need to be saved from being able to solve all of our own problems, being able to have a contingency plan for anything that comes up, being so insulated that we're never left wanting so that we never need help from anyone. That's the crux of it. So that we never need help from anyone. We're on this movement toward independence that started when we were about 2 and has progressed to the point that we keep working to not need anyone for anything. Total self-sufficiency. We, without thinking about it, sometimes subconsciously keep moving toward that goal. Total self-sufficiency. So I don't need anyone. I don't want to depend on anyone. But if we actually achieve that goal to not need anyone for anything, usually in Christianity we call that hell. Total isolation. I don't even need a God to worship. I'll just worship myself. And this is the kind of narcissistic self-destruction that none of us is headed toward totally, but we have areas in our lives that we just don't want to be poor in. We don't actually want to have needs, and we don't want to be dependent. But the fact is, things are always more beautiful when we can do them together. Things are always more beautiful when I can get help from someone, especially somebody who's better at it than I am. Why would I not want somebody to organize my life? It doesn't take much to do that better than I can do it. I'm so grateful when I have that kind of help. Why would we not want to be helped? We can't receive a gift unless we have a need, unless we're poor. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so gracious to strip us, and he does it very gently, but he's persistent not to make us depend too much on ourselves and to keep us a little bit off balance and to open us to what the Lord wants to bring into our lives. Sometimes he strips us of our health. Sometimes he strips us of our securities, our insurance policies, our money in the bank. Sometimes he strips us of even a person that we depended on. He strips us of different things, not so that he can torture us in need, but rather that so that he can provide for us a gift. Being stripped and being given a gift is the third line of that verse of the Pentecost sequence. It's a light to our hearts. It allows love to thrive. Love thrives in poverty and gift-giving. Love thrives in dependency and mutual support. Love thrives in the complementarity of weakness and strength. Weakness by itself, strength by itself, both of them are a little ugly. But weakness and strength together is so beautiful. I'm always so touched when I give Holy Communion in parishes, and inevitably, there's some huge, hulking guy who's carrying a tiny baby in his arm and then receives in his other hand the tiny Eucharist, a little Jesus. And when that kind of strength comes together with that kind of weakness, because Jesus, when he gives himself to us in the form of bread, makes himself very weak to come together with our strength. And then he provides a grace of strength that comes together very well with the weakness of our need for his grace, our need for love, our need for understanding. I want to bring this back around to the gospel now to conclude, because I know I've had you in suspense. I thought I saw somebody run out to get their Greek Bible there just a moment ago to find out what that word was. Rivers of living water will flow from the koilia. That didn't help, did it? From the koilia of him who believes in me. You know what koilia is? The angel Gabriel said it to Mary. Blessed are you among women. I'm sorry, Elizabeth said it to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your koilia. Koilia is womb. That's why the translators had such a hard time figuring out how to put a womb in a man. How do we all have a womb? But you know, a womb, which is the very place that every one of us started our life in, it's our original home, a place where life grows, a place where love is communicated, positioned under the heart of the mother. This is where all of us lived the first 9 months. But you know, a womb by itself is very poor. It can't fill itself, and it can't provide its own meaning. And in a way, it's useless unless it receives a gift from the outside, and a gift from the inside, in fact. And so that koilia is the image for our own poverty. We have these places in us that are poor, these places in us that we can't provide for ourselves, these places that we struggle, these places that we're forgetful and we make mistakes, even the place of our sins and our wounds are a kind of spiritual womb that by itself is sort of ugly and it doesn't do a whole lot. But when it is able to receive a gift from the outside, and for our spiritual womb, for all of the places of poverty in our lives, what we really need is the gift of mercy, the divine mercy that God wants to give us. Our temptation is to shove those things away and hide them, to kind of block off those areas of our lives. But really, what we need to do is expose them, show them to the Lord. Look, Lord, I have this empty space in my life. I have this place where I make mistakes. I have this place where I run into my human limitations. I'm forgetful and I'm kind of a disaster and I put my foot in my mouth and I say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing and I fall in these ways. I fall into my own selfishness, my own self-indulgence. I fall. Show it to the Lord. Show it to Him. He wants to fill it with life. He wants to fill it with love. He wants to take that poverty and He wants to give you a gift. A gift that is not just for you, but actually wells up, like it says in the gospel, as a stream of living water pouring forth as a gift for others. Because there is no one who is more radiant than a forgiven sinner. What were all the apostles? Forgiven sinners. Those who are broken and beloved. Those who know they are broken and know they are beloved are the greatest evangelists. That's what God wants us to be. We're all broken. Our choice to expose our brokenness and discover that we're also beloved is our own choice. What's the key? That same verse. Rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in His love? He calls to you. Trust me. Trust me that when I see your brokenness, I don't turn my face away. Trust me that when I see your poverty, I don't get disgusted. Trust me that when I see that openness in you, all I want to do is fill it with love. Trust me that I can make more of your life if we do it together, than if you do it alone. Trust me and expose those areas of your heart that are broken and bleeding and wounded and hurting, those places that are embarrassing, those places where you struggle. Trust me. I won't hurt you. I'll heal you. And I'll give you love. Rivers of living water will flow from the koilia, from the womb, of him who believes in me. Let us expose our poverty to the Lord and receive the gift of mercy, the gift of new life, the gift of the Holy Spirit.